Next up, two Springfield Dominican sisters travel to El Paso, Texas to volunteer at a Catholic shelter for asylum seekers. The shelter, called Annunciation House, is at the border, receiving immigrants and their families after they've been released by immigration and custom enforcement officials. Our reporter Daisy Contreras connected with Sister Marceline Cook in El Paso. She says she's taken part in this one-week trip as an opportunity to do more than just advocacy work.
These immigrants that we will have been helping this week have been released from the detention center. I'm assuming somewhere here in El Paso. You just don't know where they are, whether they're at the Army base or where they are. But they've been released, and they are being released to a sponsor, someone in their family, someone who knows them. That sponsor will pay for their travel to get to where the sponsor lives, and the sponsor will provide for them. What has happened is that ICE informed Annunciation House, and I suppose the other shelters, that they were going to start releasing these folks, and they were just going to release them to the street. Their goal is not one person on the street. So they do everything they can to have ICE deliver the folks to the different shelters, and then we would do an intake for them, and they would be housed there until, you know, arrangements can be made for them to go to their sponsor.
Is there a great need for volunteers at these shelters?
Yes, volunteers are needed, donations are needed, money is needed. I have found the people of El Paso to be extremely generous and welcoming. For instance, at our site, we have a tent in the parking lot that has some heaters because we've been very surprised that it's in the 20s and 30s at night here in El Paso. So you're serving meals, and every noon and every evening for supper, different organization will bring the food in. And it's really difficult because we don't know how many we're going to have. One day ICE might bring 30, the next day they might bring 60 or 70.
So let's look into what your day looks like. You've been, at the time of this interview, you have been in El Paso volunteering at Annunciation House for 4 days.
My colleagues and I are on the 7 to 2, 2:30 shift. So we get there before 7, and part of our job is to set up for breakfast, and then we'll also, after we do that, the cleanup. And the people there, the asylees, the guests, always help with the cleanup, and they're always very grateful for whatever they get. And then we also set up for lunch. One of the big jobs that another, Catherine and I, worked on is they have one hotel room. Imagine a small hotel room with one bed and two little chairs and maybe a shelf over here. And it was covered with bags of clothes that people had donated. And our job was to start sorting and managing the clothes and putting up signs for men, women, children, and so on. And so we've done that every day to keep it ready for the afternoon, because the ICE bus will come between 2:30 and 5. Any time in there is when they begin to drop folks off. We can be working with people handing out clothes. We're preparing food not only for the meals there, but we also pack lunches, because when somebody leaves El Paso on the Greyhound bus and goes to Virginia, they're going to be on that bus for 2 or 3 days. And they're going to need food because they have no money with them. We send them with water, with sandwiches, and packages of food that we try to plan for how many days they'll be on the bus. They can take enough with them. It's that kind of thing that you're doing, and you're trying to interact with the people to make them feel welcome.
What is your hope for the future for these immigrants, especially now with the current rhetoric behind immigration nationwide?
Oh, my hopes for the immigrants is that they could find the safety, security, food, shelter, education, work that they want to be able to have to be able to live productive and happy lives. My hope for all of us is that we would see immigrants as people. They are not animals. They are not looking to do harm for us. And my other hope is that we in our country would begin to do some of the analysis around this and ask some questions, look at the reality and look at the circumstances, and begin to delve into the connections as to why people leave. I know we hear there's push factors and pull factors. The pull factor is they want a better life. Push factors is they're trying to keep their preteen or teenage son from the gangs. They're trying to keep their daughter from being captured by the gangs and made a sex slave of the gangs. So people are very frightened for their children.
You only have a few days before your group makes their way back to Springfield. But let's bring it back home to Central Illinois. Once you're back, you actually volunteer for a local organization called the Springfield Immigration Advocacy Network.
The Springfield Immigration Advocacy Network started about a year or two ago. It's simply a group of folks who probably have a justice concerns before, and they said, you know, what can we do to help? Even who are the immigrants in Springfield that could use our support? We've had a family recently in Springfield that there was a raid on a restaurant, and they are in proceedings. I'm not sure where it is right now. We've been trying to support that family, just even financially. If churches or organizations want to help us, they could. We would like to start like a pledge fund to say, okay, this church will pledge, let's say, $500. And when we need that for somebody's bond to just even get them out of detention to be under house arrest, you know, those things would be helpful so that people can live with the dignity.
That's Sister Marceline Cook. She's from Springfield, speaking from El Paso, Texas, about her experience volunteering at a shelter for asylum seekers. You can read more about her group's journey at statewideshow.com.